It's that time once again, 96.5 The Fan's Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Got a couple more lined up for you. Of course, Chris and I will be at the landing. We'll get into more details about that for the first round of the NFL Draft. I'm proud to introduce my partner from Character Concerns, Chris Unocero.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. Julio Sanchez producing the operation. And Amanda's here for social media.
We're shooting social media for...
You guys did need some help.
It's just exploding.
I mean, I'm not the one that's in control of the social media. I don't... Okay. They don't even give me the passwords to the Insta, the Twitter.
I just got a wedding invite from you that said, scan the QR code.
How'd
and
that
then
go
fill
for
out
you?
Whether you what food you like.
It probably went. It probably went tough for Bink because Bink's not that technologically sound. I mean,
what's a bigger deal though, the draft or your wedding?
Well, for me, it's definitely the wedding.
Okay,
but I'm over it. You know, I'm ready for it to come.
I'm not trying to get you. We're not trying to get you in trouble.
Oh, that's fine.
I don't know why you asked that question, Bink.
You know, it's fine.
I'm just asking.
Ask me that question.
Julio, I don't know what I would say.
Julio's wife could be my listening.
That's why I'm single, by the way.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. So
look. Look, it's a lot of planning. I'm over it. I'm ready for it to be here. Let's have some fun and just call it a day. You know.
Well, regardless, thanks for all the great sponsors of the program.
Brought to you by Salvation's Army, down for the challenge. Register today to rappel down GEHA Field.
Which at you're going to do.
I will not do that. At Arrowhead Stadium, May 22nd at downforthechallengekc.com.
So you're not going to rappel? You still? I still want to talk to you.
I'm going to tell you this. We talked about this last week.
I know.
I got a problem with heights.
I know.
Just the idea of thinking about being
a way to break through.
I'm not
a counselor here. Or anything.
I'm about to be 35. I think I'm good on.
I think I changed my mind. I think I would do it.
Okay, you know? Cool.
If they offered, I'd do it.
Cool. Well, at least somebody that is in the vicinity here.
You only live once, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And I would like to my life to not end that one time that I get to live by rappelling down Arrowhead.
If we go back in time, though, and the Chiefs could get Mahomes or not, would you rappel if you rappelling?
I'd rather I'll tell you this. I'd rather have another 5 years of Alex Smith than rappel down Arrowhead.
Probably would have been Deshaun Watson.
I'd rather have another 5 years of Alex Smith than rappel down Arrowhead. I'll tell you, I got a problem with heights, and Patrick Mahomes coming to Kansas City wouldn't have changed that.
Well, I did mention you and I will be out on the 24th. It's fast. 2 weeks from tonight, the NFL draft gets kicked off in earnest on Thursday night. We'll be at the Landing in Liberty like last year. Starts 6 p.m. The entire crew from 96.5 The Fan will be there. Draft contest, $965 in your pocket if you get the correct amount of players selected in the first round. And if you get the team, you can get more bonus. And let me tell you, the top three is pretty easy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sounds like we got that top three solidified to a certain point.
Top three solidified.
I mean, to be honest.
It's going Ward, Hunter, and Abdul Carter. Not to spoil anything, but
I mean, you could probably pencil in Mason Graham at four.
There you go. Will Campbell.
Maybe. Yeah, probably five. Yeah. Probably five.
So you can pencil those kind of things in. But anyway, that'll be at the Landing in Liberty. Chris and I will be on for like 5 hours or, well, the entirety of the first round.
Yeah, Chiefs however pick at long end. It takes, yeah.
Chiefs pick at the end. So are they going to trade back? Are they going to select a player? What's going to happen? Last year was a lot of fun because it ended up being the Chiefs trading Buffalo, and no one believed. Like, huh? Who? I didn't even believe it. They're like, oh, they traded Buffalo. I was like, no.
When I saw it come across Twitter on my notifications, because I had the notifications for all the insiders, and I was like, oh, no.
And keep in mind, Buffalo's right in front of Kansas City this year.
Right.
Will they make a deal with the devil or not?
I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think they learned their lesson.
But anyway, that's fun, so make sure you come out for that. The sheet, of course, when you make your predictions, has to be turned in. So write them down on a separate sheet of paper, probably. When you get there, it'll be the official sheet. You turn it in. Spec spends the entire day grading these things. The next day, I've seen the door shut. He grades everything. But we'll have a lot of fun. But by the first pick, when the Titans are on the clock, have that sheet turned in. Because we've seen it before. We've seen NFL drafts. The Vikings a few years ago, they didn't quite get up to the
podium in time, and they got skipped over. They got skipped over twice.
You can skip right over that. But it's getting hot and heavy. And, of course, the rumor mill is in full force for the NFL draft. For some reason, players are dropping. They're rising. A lot of different things are happening to players, which is funny because they have not played. They have not played football. But Isaiah Bond, you know, a little bit of stuff today with him. We'll see what happens with that. But that might hurt his draft stock as well going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. He had some off the field issues.
Some character concerns.
And I'll say this. Day two might not happen. It might be an early day three selection with the stuff.
It's bad timing. We've seen a lot of this stuff happen to players that have kind of got past that.
Right.
Got past the whole deal. Remember Tunsil?
Yeah.
On draft night.
I remember.
The bong gate came out that night.
Was that? I think I was at. This was, I think that was that 2012?
It was in Chicago, wasn't it?
Was that 2012 or was that 2013?
I think it was in Chicago, wasn't it? Because we had guys there. Wasn't it in Chicago?
No, that was 2014. Yeah, yes, that was when our old boss and Serta were out in Chicago. Yeah. I was producing that. And then, I think it was Tunsil's stepdad.
Right on draft
that
night,
put
baby.
That video out there, and it probably cost him like 5 or 6 spots.
I don't think anymore, though. I think things have changed.
Oh, yeah, they don't care anymore now. Like, if you did that now, like, if
some half the people are putting the bong down to
make selections. Somebody had beef with Travis Hunter and that video dropped during the draft, I still think the Browns take him at 2.
Which he's not giving any indication. Dude didn't even go out to drink and party, didn't do anything. He sit and play video games and do his podcast on the evenings. That's what he does. That's who he is.
One of the interesting things with Hunter at Colorado's Pro Day last week, he didn't do any DB drill.
It
was all receiver drill.
That wasn't. That's why I've been firm, lock, stop, and barrel. I know that's the hot pick now through Vegas and stuff for him being. I was like, hey, if the Browns pass on him, they're the Browns. That's stupid if you're going to pass on him. You just paid Miles all that money. I understand. Pass rush and stereo with Abdul Carter, you're going, think of that. But you got to be able to throw the ball to somebody.
Right.
And it is interesting that Travis did all receiver drills and no DB back.
I think he's telling us without telling us what he wants to do at the next level.
And he'll do what the coaches say. If the coaches say, we just want you to concentrate on receiver, he'll do it.
And
he's
that type of guy. I think reportedly the Browns are more interested in him as a receiver than they are as a because I think it depends on the team. Like, I want to say it was third overall, they were looking at him as a DB. And even the Titans were looking at him as a DB.
But I understand the allure for it because he is the best player in the draft, in my opinion. Right. But some teams look at it and say, all right, we'll start your DB. We'll put you in a package for 25 to 30 players on offense. Let's make no mistake about it. He played 382 more snaps than anybody in college football last year. Can he play both ways? For a long period of time? I don't think so. A couple years?
No.
I'm not saying he can't. Because
I don't think he could do it at all. And just because, like...
But he could handle 25 to 30 offensive snaps.
Yeah, but I think I don't think that he'd be good doing 25 to 30 offensive snaps and then doing, like, 70 snaps on defense. I don't think he'd be good doing that.
And the one thing about it is, that is a marketing home run for the team.
Right.
It just is. He's the Heisman Trophy winner, of course. You're going to make, and he played for Deion. Come on, prime out there. Spitting facts about Travis Hunter. Good stuff there. Matt McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs.com, joins us. He does a lot of work with Mitch Holtus. They break down draft prospects. Gray, he's been at the combine, did all that. He's collecting Super Bowl rings like
he's got
like Julio Sanchez.
Every time they clinch something and they get the hats and the T-shirts, he shows his collection on his Twitter page. It's always impressive seeing how many he's gotten in the time that he's been in that role with the Chiefs.
But it's tradition. Thor Nystrom, obviously, we had him on last week. That's tradition. Chet Ryder, or you'll see him on NFL.com all the time, spelled Reuter, R-E-U-T-E-R. It's Ryder is how you pronounce it. I don't think he really cares, but it is Chet Ryder. He'll join us at the next draft special we'll do on the 21st. He's coming on with us in that situation. But tonight it's Matt McMullen coming in later from Chiefs.com. I thought this quote was interesting, Chris. Daniel Jeremiah put this out. And there's a few guys the national media all kind of pay attention to when they put something out because they're pretty knowledgeable about the draft and going forward. And another guy, a lot of people think the guy's just a funny guy, is Peter Schrager, who predicts the Super
Bowl. He's actually really
every year.
Good with his predictions.
He was number 2 as far as rating the mocks. When they look at the mocks and who's the most accurate, for instance, Mel Kiper was 16th. Schrager was number 2 on that list. But Daniel Jeremiah tweets this out. He says, I've talked to several GMs and head coaches over the last week, and everyone seems to agree. The draft is a starter draft, maybe not a ton of star power, but your goal should be to come out with 3 or 4 solid starters. That's pretty generic for any draft, to be honest with you, getting 3 or 4 starters. That always happened. But is this more starter-worthy than star-worthy? Possibly, as I see, like a Tyler Warren could be a star. I think Travis Hunter can definitely be a star. Abdul Carter can be a star. But, yeah, I think it's more starter than star power. I think he's right on that.
So me and you were on the Intangibles podcast on Monday for Arrowhead Addict. And then I went on the Arrowhead Chief podcast on Tuesday night. And that's one of the things I've been saying on pretty much everything I can is like the star power at the top of this draft is not that great overall. Like picking in the top 10 to me, like if you were especially like bottom five of top 10, I don't feel like the star power is there like we've seen
like Cam Ward's there more in quarterback because the quarterback class.
But
I think Penix would have beat him had Penix been in this draft.
Me too. I think so too. But like I think if you're in like let's say pick 10 and after that up until like maybe 25, you're in a really good spot to be able to get someone who is going to at least I think be a solid starter. But could be a star for you in the future. It's just like there aren't as many surefire, okay, this guy's definitely going to be a star. There's not many of those in this draft at the top of the draft.
I mean, some of the guys, like Travis Hunter, it didn't matter which draft it is. He won the Heisman. And we have seen the Heisman actually players do well in the NFL, to be honest with you. It's much different than it used to be. Derrick Henry's a Heisman guy, and look how he's doing. The guy never ages. But regardless, Hunter won the Biletnikoff Award as the top receiver. He won the Big Norik Award as the top defensive player. Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Won the Heisman Trophy. He's a unicorn. I think he goes regardless. But the interesting thing to be is the Chiefs have 8 picks. They've got 8 picks. Will it be more than that at the time of the draft? Or are they going to stay right with the 8? Is there enough holes on this team? We'll get to all this later. And Matt McMullen from Chiefs.com will help us explain some of that as well. But if we put our 2.0 mock draft out this past week, we're going to do 3.0, and we'll get up there to 4.0 or 5.0. Who knows where we're going to get. We do the full NFL one, which is at 1.0. We do the full Chiefs one. We do a lot of them, and everybody does a lot of mocks, but like to have a reason of why we're doing it and the players we're selecting. We'll do all that when we come back.
Draft Special with Jay Pinkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Great stuff. Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. I did mention we'll be live at the Lading on the 24th, but that's Saturday starting at 9 a.m. Chris and I are in for 6 hours. 6 hours of draft coverage.
Oh, it's going to be a long weekend. It's going to be a long weekend.
And then Sunday, draft recap starting 9 in the morning for 3 hours. Then Monday night, we're not done yet.
Six to nine.
Like the old Ginsu Knives commercial. But wait, there's more. We'll be back Monday night talking more.
That's not Ginsu Knives.
You don't remember those commercials?
That's OxyClean.
No.
Yeah.
You got to be old OxyClean. Like me to really remember it. OxyClean, too, but the Ginsu Knives.
Was that Billy Mays selling Ginsu Knives?
But he's like, but wait, there's more.
Because he did that. I mean, he did a lot of
potato peeler or whatever.
Potato
peeler. But wait, there's more.
My parents have the Ginsu Knives.
That's right. They're good knives.
They are actually great knives. This show is brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com.
So we got rappelling, and we got shooting fireworks off, man. Don't be JPP.
Yeah,
just do it responsibly.
Yeah, do it responsibly. I love fireworks.
I do, too. I'm a huge firework guy, man. It's why the hot dog eating competition, Joey Chestnut, you name it, the fireworks.
You get like half the guys
blowing
here,
stuff up.
Half the guys here at the Fan will talk trash on fireworks.
Well, right, Drew Nixon shot his first Roman candle last year. I was filling on a show around 4th of July.
Yeah.
So Drew went outside.
Did he go out there?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah, he went right there in the courtyard.
The cops didn't come?
He didn't shoot it like in his butt or anything, but he like held it up and shot it.
Well, I hope he didn't do it.
Well, that's what a lot of people do, you know, if they have a few beers, you know.
No, I've never seen anybody do that. I don't know what kind of fireworks shows you be going to. I've never seen anyone do that.
All right, regardless, let's look. We did our mock 2.0 before we get into the meat and potatoes of what we did, which we did go through Pro Football Focus because we like to see what other teams select. And we typically have done this because when we did the full NFL mock, all right, what's still there at 31? We look at defensive line, what's still there for the Chiefs? Because I know we had Thor on, and he really liked the running back class one. I don't. I like defensive line and edge one and two.
Me too.
I'll take running backs three, though. The running back class is that good?
I would take running backs three, yeah.
But then you're looking at tight ends, wide receivers, that group. Because I do believe there's a huge gap between the top four receivers as they called on the podcast with Steve Smith and Palmer, they called it the chunky middle of wide receivers. But regardless, the big debate, burden or edge debate. And you and I came to this problem. We came to this problem because you and I both made statements that if a Derek Harmon is there, you take him. Derek Harmon's my draft crush, but obviously it's a need for the Chiefs. Defensive line
right.
can't get ever have enough edges for this team, but that was our debate. But we always said, if Luther Burden is still there, which Mel Kiper came out with his fancy mock this week, and yeah. he was like a second-round dude.
He had him in the second round.
He was like a second-round dude. I think he's a first-round guy.
Me too. But I think a lot of people are going to be surprised that he goes a little bit higher than people are saying.
But Burden was on the clock. Derek Harmon, Scorton was there too, I believe.
Scorton was there.
But our big debate was Derek Harmon or Burden.
No, I think Scorton was off the board.
Oh, was he?
I think Scorton went to the Bills.
And we had Scorton, yeah, right before the Chiefs.
Yeah, but we had, I think we had Luther. We had Derek Harmon. And we had Darius Alexander from Toledo, another defensive tackle.
And they do like Toledo guys.
Yeah. Obviously Kareem, yeah. And it was tough, but I've been saying this for like a month and a half now. If the Chiefs are sitting there at 31 and Luther Burden is available at 31, I will pound the table at the landing
and
up in Liberty.
I'm in the same way, but we've to faced go get this predicament. Luther. But we had to think about it, though. This wasn't a knee-jerk. We had to think about it like, oh, man, Burden's there. We got to do this.
And
Ben Harmon was there.
And that was the thing. It was like,
he's not going to be there.
He's definitely not going to make it far past 31 if he gets past 31. And here's the thing. Is like, that's the reason why I immediately was like, Luther Burden. But I wanted to at least hear you out. If you wanted to make the case.
Because we got to be a consensus. I can defend your picks. You can right. defend mine. That's kind of what we do. We're a team, man.
I at least wanted to make sure that you were on the same page as me about that pick.
I stay at a wide receiver.
Because your boy Derek Harmon was sitting there. And I'm a huge Derek Harmon fan.
I know you are.
I'm a big Derek Harmon fan. He's not my favorite, but I'm a big Derek Harmon fan. But, I mean, Luther was right. And I just think about, what's the thing that makes me the most uneasy about the Chiefs every year the last 2 years? And it's the offense. It's the receiving core. And so, you know, when you get a receiver like Burden falling as far as he does, man, I was like, we got to go get him if he's there. And it made a lot of sense there at 31
degrees. To be honest with you, I think he's Tedrick McMillan. Going into the season, it was Burden, who's wide receiver one. I get it. He's a slot. But then you start looking at Tedrick McMillan being 6'4". That's kind of the size and dimension the Chiefs don't have.
And it's also the size and dimensions the Chiefs don't really covet.
They don't.
Receiver.
That's the thing. And with Luther Burden, Matt Miller, I played the audio last week. The NFL draft scout did a great job in Bleacher Report. He moved to ESPN. He's one of their top draft guys. Besides Mel Kiper, obviously, that's always going to be number one over there. But Matt Miller's there. And he basically said, hey, man, Luther Burden was his number one. And the one thing is that we like to do is the tape doesn't lie. Like, you can read all these reports and you can look at them. And I know there's going to be Kansas fans or Kansas State go, oh, we don't need a Missouri guy. They said the same thing about Bolden. But yet they did cartwheels when they re-signed Nick Bolden.
Some people didn't because they didn't like the money.
But if you watch the film, Burden popped, man. I get his production wasn't as good this year as it was the year before. But Luther Burden was one of those guys. You watch the game, you understand who you wanted to get the ball to. And it was Luther Burden. Steve Smith is one of the best evaluators of talent, the former receiver in the National Football League. And he's really high on Luther Burden. He was his number two receiver, to be honest with you, but he moved the back because he's more of a slot guy. He was top four. And still, I think there's four. Igbuka with Burden, McMillan, and Golden are your top four. Then there is kind of an abyss there in between the Trey Harris's and Higgins of the world going forward. There's a gap. And we're going to probably see a gap in the draft. There's going to be a run on receivers at some point. But the first round, you're not going to have seven like you did that tied a record from 2008 like you had in the last – or 2004, excuse me, that tied that last year and offensive line, they had eight that tied a record from 08. You're not going to see that this year. Burden is a guy. If he is still there, it will give the Chiefs some pause because they will be getting calls. If Burden is still there – like, you think usually you're sitting 31, it's got to be a quarterback for someone to trade and get. Burden's the type of talent – you'll be fielding phone calls for at 31.
And here's one of the things I kind of want to throw out there about like the whole slot debate. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, guy whose name you cannot say right. He is
JSN?
Yeah, you just use the initials because you cannot say his name right. He is someone that has carved out a really nice role as a slot receiver. They tried to play him on the outside. It didn't work.
He's a slot guy.
They put him in the slot. All of a sudden, he just started exploding for the Seahawks. It's okay.
Those are the most talented.
Because you can still use a slot receiver, and they can still be one of your best receivers. There's nothing wrong. Like, this idea that you need to be an X receiver to be a great receiver in this league. Like, dude, they move these guys all around. I've seen Devontae Adams line up in the slot a bunch. Tyreek Hill line up in the slot a bunch.
And the Y has been a huge position with Chiefs because that's been Kelce.
Puka Nacua runs a ton of snaps out of the slot. So did Cooper Kupp when he was with the Rams. Like, they move these guys all around.
And
these
guys are on defense. Trent McDuffie, when he's in the slot, which is his natural position, he'll get more time in the slot because you're on the slot receiver.
Travis Kelce has put up wide receiver numbers almost his entire career lining up in the slot. There is nothing wrong with being a slot guy and thinking, well, that's going to limit your production. It's not 1995 where they didn't throw to slot receivers more than 3 times a game. Nowadays, they actually, if you are a really good slot receiver, you will get volume. If you get open, you will get volume, especially in the Chiefs offense.
He
Rashee Rice, he was leading the team in receiving as a slot receiver before he got hurt last season. There is
the second leading rookie receiver the year before.
Right. And so if that is what Luther Burden is, if he's a slot receiver, that's fine. Because you know what? I bet you he could still be a 1,000-yard receiver as a slot receiver.
He
could do whatever
he wants. The one thing is, he was a weapon. When you saw him, he was the best player in the field. He just was.
Yeah.
And I used to tell my brother the year before when he'd get hurt a lot, but he ended up coming in, you scroll Twitter, what's happening? Is he going back in the game?
Right, right.
And didn't happen as much this past year.
Yeah, it didn't happen, but he also didn't get as much usage as he did.
But Luther Burden was a stud, and he is a stud. And he's going to go play. He's one of the top 4 receivers in this draft. And if you think the Chiefs are just set a receiver, like I hear that all the time, oh, I can't believe you're going receiver. Well, what were you thinking last year when the Chiefs are struggling putting teams away? What were you thinking last year?
Hollywood really.
Brown goes down against the Jags in preseason game 1. On the first play, he caught the ball. You lose Rice, like you said, against the Chargers. And essentially, you went without your 1 and 2 all year. And that's why you had to have a rookie step up, which it took a while, but he did.
He finally figured out late in the season, yeah.
But you don't know what's going to happen to Rice. None of us really know, but the NFL does like to do suspension games.
Yeah.
They just do. It's what they do. But you can't have enough weapons. And I understand you think of defensive line and all this, but the bread and butter of what this team is Mahomes. And if you don't realize that, you need to look in the mirror. Mahomes is the reason this team succeeds. You keep giving him weapons. You force an easy decision when you get to St. Joe with the wide receiver groups, which, man, if you go in this season with Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and a Luther Burden type, and then draft like a Kyle Williams or a Ty Felton that they brought in for a top 30 visit today out of Maryland, and you do get two receivers, which I 100% think they should do, get two receivers, it builds up that receiver room. So all of a sudden you have Juju, but he's at the very end of the scale.
And that would be the ideal situation. My thing is this, is like, if this wasn't as deep of a defensive line class as it is, especially like defensive tackle, where it's real deep, I think that's the deepest of the positions aside from running back, then, yeah, I'd be like, you got to get Derek Harmon or whatever defensive tackle's there at 31. But because you can go round 2 and you can get a guy like Omar Norman Lott, you might even be able to get Landon Jackson at the end of the round 2.
He came in here for a visit, speaking of the
Norman Lott?
I think so.
Okay. I think so.
But anyway,
I've been talking about it. But if you have, because of that depth, if you want to go receiver at 31, I'm cool. As long as it's the right one.
And the rest of the draft went pick 63 in the second round, Joshua Farmer. That's where we go defensive tackle. It's a guy that's 2-eye or 3-eye. He could do those interior defensive lines for you. Joshua Farmer?
Yeah, that's
my
guy.
Still sitting here. So if you go Burden round 1, you clearly go Farmer in round 2.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I know he's a Florida State Seminole, so I'm programmed to hate him, but he's really good. And I say this a lot. I compare him a lot to, like, he's like an interior rushing George Karloftis. Very high motor. I mean, I don't know if y'all saw him at the combine. I mean, he was out there putting in work. He was probably going the hardest in the paint of anybody at that combine.
He likes those long arms, typically in the offensive line, but you can't sneeze at 35-inch arms on defense.
Yeah, Spags likes those on his defensive linemen, too. Farmer's a guy that a lot of talent and he's got the length that they like, and he's got the motor they like. And so he's a guy, and I think he's a guy that would be a plus pass rusher. So having him on your D-line lined up next to your top pass rusher and Chris Jones, man, I think that gives you a lot of versatility in what you could do.
And Farmer didn't shy away from anything. He didn't do the 3-cone, the 20-yard or the 20-yard shuttle, but he did the 10-yard split. He did the vertical, was 29 inches. He did the broad jump, and he did the bench press at 26 reps. So it is a guy that didn't shy away from showing off. But that's the kind of guy that can really bolster himself up higher in the draft and benefit more than like an Xavier Restrepo running. This helped Joshua Farmer.
Right, yeah, because he was a guy that was, I mean, maybe a late third, early fourth round guy for a while. And then I think his performance, not only on the field, but also like what you saw from a motor standpoint, what you saw at the Senior Bowl. Like Senior Bowl, that was really when I think that put him on the map.
He's a two-gap guy. You can throw in there. He's extremely strong.
Yeah, incredibly strong. You know, he's a guy I really like there, even though he is a Florida State
center. Round three is going to be fun because they have the second pick in round three. These other ones kind of towards the end of the round, of course, because of where the Chiefs finished. But they do have, because of Snead, they do have it would have been the first pick in the third round, but the way that the NFL does their tiebreakers right. with first round, they alternate them with three teams that finish with the worst records, the Titans by default, because they technically, when you look at the scoring and everything, they get the first pick in the draft. But they have 63 and 66, which those are prime positions for the Chiefs to be able to draft 63 and 66. Because if you don't get that guy, maybe you get him at 66. Benjamin Morrison, a corner from Notre Dame, was our selection. And I know I get it, corner. You can't have enough good corners. You just can't. He's a guy that got hurt last year with that hip and was out. But it's a guy that's climbing draft charts. I mean, this might be too late for Benjamin Morrison.
Yeah, he's actually kind of fallen down draft boards.
Well, so
because he was a
he's moving up in, because lately he's been moving up in several.
Is he moving back? Because like there for a while
he went back down, but he's moving back up.
Because for a while he was like late first, early second. And now I was surprised we were able to get him early third.
But I'm seeing more second now with Benjamin.
Yeah, he was a guy. I was surprised we were getting him early third in our mock that we did, because I mean, you watch what he brings to the table. He is, I think, an ideal type of corner. He's not like my favorite corner for the Chiefs to get. That would be Savon Revel Jr.
But he sets the edge. For a corner, he can set the edge, but can do a lot of things that Spags would want.
He's an outside guy. He can play press man. And I think he's got the speed to be able to play man at the NFL level. He's a good tackler too. The big thing you worry about is the hip injury. And they don't think it's going to be something he's going to deal with long term. So that's good.
It's kind of big for corners.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, hip fluidity is a massive part of being
major thing.
Especially if you're a man cover guy, hip fluidity is really important. But I think he just kind of fits what they're looking for. And based on if you could get him early in the third round, I think it's an incredible value considering the fact that he's a guy that arguably, if we go back early in the football season, he was probably a late first round corner.
We'll go with the rest of our selections after the break, because are we going to take a running back? Are we going to sit here and not take one? When we talk about how good they are, maybe we will. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back to the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special right here on 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, Julio Sanchez producing the operation, and Amanda doing social media. I like that. Text line 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Send in your comments, questions, concerns, character concerns. I know that people want to talk about Mahomes' half-brother a lot yesterday. Receiver turned tight end, which probably not going to be drafted. So we may get to him later. In the fourth round, though, or pick, actually third round, pick 95, Basil Tootin. That was finally the guy that we went. We'll talk about him in just a second.
This show is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellExteriors.com.
And in this draft, because the time before was Dylan Sampson in 1.0, And the reason it was changed, he wasn't available. Dylan Sampson was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. If they could fit in perfectly with what the Chiefs do.
I mean, I would have taken DJ Giddens.
But I know
he wasn't there either.
He wasn't there either. But still, Tootin is who I went with. He's got that blazing speed. It's 4.32 speed at the running back position, over 1,600 yards. Not only that, but with Tootin, the one thing also you get, you're talking strength. In 2023, he had two touchdowns returning kicks, which obviously that's going to be a premium with the ball coming out from the 30 to the 35 now. But it was like a 29-yard average. I mean, the dude flat flies. He really does. But he's had some hand issues dropping the football and ball being taken away. That is a concern. It's not the end-all be-all. You can still get away with it. It's Andy Reid gives you a football and you carry it around all over St. Joe with you. And you don't.
If they draft him, he's going to have a football in his hands.
He's going to have a football in his hand. But anyway, that's where we go as far as running back when you're concerned about that. Kyle Williams, the wide receiver in round four.
I want to talk about.
Oh, do you want to talk about?
Yeah, very small, compact running back. I got to show my knowledge here. He's a very small, compact running. Was he 5'9", I think. But he's over 200 pounds.
Which doesn't matter, running.
He's over 200 pounds though. Like he's a guy that I think from a size standpoint, like I always worry about the guys like RJ Harvey and whatnot who are 5'9", you know, right around somewhere between 190 and 205. Like I worry about those guys because long term, I don't know how long those guys are going to have a prime in the league. But someone like Bashaul Tootin, I think has some potential to be a guy that can make it to a second contract and have some value because he's got some muscle on him. And he also has some good speed. What was he? 4.32? Yeah.
Yeah, but when you think about it, production, running the ball, it was almost 1,159 yards,
yeah,
over 6 yard per carry average. He got in the end zone 15 times just catching the football. Receiving, he got two touchdowns. He was more productive receiver the year before. That 2023, even though his rushing numbers went up in 24, 23 was the year he was actually a more productive receiver, and that was the year that he had the two touchdowns on kick returns, which, again, that's the type of guy Dave Tobe would covet as well because he can play special teams.
The only thing that concerns me about Tootin, though, is he has this propensity to kick his runs outside. And you know how the Chiefs run a lot of inside zone.
You got to go to where the blockers are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I worry that he's going to want to kick it outside too much. And the right, correct decision would be to take it between the tackles in the zone run scheme. And so I do worry about that. So, like, I wonder if they were to take him, are they going to run more outside zone, which is probably going to be what his strength is going to be, as opposed to him being forced to have to learn how to play inside zone efficiently when he naturally wants to kick it out.
His NFL comp, by the way, from Lance Erline, who makes comps with everybody, Isaiah Pacheco.
That's the thing that concerns me because we've seen in Isaiah Pacheco, it's a guy who has a lot of speed, but we never get to see it because the first thing he does is he looks for the first defender so that he can hit him and then
get
tackled.
But I will say this, though. He, in pass protection, he will get right up in your grill.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
one thing about him. Like he didn't shy away from contact with blocking.
Right, and I think there's good value in that, in the fact that he is very willing to block in the passing game. But my big issue is outside, you know, him wanting to kick it outside and also him wanting to be one of those guys that isn't going to run to space. He's going to run towards the defense and then lower his shoulder, and that is a little concerning.
Here's what one AFC director of scouting told Lane Zerline. Says, you wish he was just a little bit bigger in how he physically runs, but I really like him. He's loosey-goosey in the open field, but gives you real big play juice if he gets it blocked up. That's from an AFC scouting director, unnamed, which I hate that when that comes out. But, again,
I mean, that's the nature of the game. Again, they're not going to give out. They're not going to tell everybody who they are.
The returnability is huge for this team to have a set guy for that. So that's where Tootin was our running back. We went. It was. It could have been Giddens. I like Giddens better than Neil. I asked Thor the other day. He joined me on the
drive. Yeah, I like Giddens better than Neil too.
I do because Giddens really showed that home run ability more towards the end of the year with K-State.
And I like his size a little bit more. Yeah. And yeah, I think he's a little bit better.
I mean, Devin's an all around good back though. I mean, there's no slide on him. But I like Giddens a lot too.
I think Devin's probably the second best or third best receiving back in this class. I think he's got a career at the very minimum as a Jet McKinnon type.
So Kyle Williams in round four, the wide receiver who played with Cam Ward when they were at Washington State together. Obviously, Cam Ward went on to the University of Miami. He's a guy climbing charts. Kyle Williams is a guy starting to climb people's charts. And to me, if you're going to go two receivers, man, You bring in Burden and Kyle Williams to your receiver room, that checks boxes.
Let's look at the physical side of it. He's 5'10", 190, and he has a 4.4 40 speed. To me, when I look at that, I see Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman, 5'10", 187, 4.37 speed.
But in his defense, a better route tree.
Better route tree, but still, like, they're thought the a lot of people are thinking this guy is going to be a he's going to be a route. He's not going to be much of a like a big time route runner for him. But his
comparison
big thing
is Marvin Mims.
And Marvin Mims is a deep guy, and I think that is really kind of where you're looking at what Kyle Williams is. He is a secondary deep threat that you add to the offense, so that when the defense pays too much attention to X, you can throw Kyle Williams on the other side, and the safety is going to have to make a tough choice there.
And the thing I think the Chiefs would like about Kyle Williams is he's a run after the catch guy.
Yeah.
He is a catch and run type of guy that creates separation. He just does. 4.4 speed and all that, he creates separation.
The biggest issue with him is he drops the ball a lot. And again, Mecole Hardman. So that is one of the things you do worry about with Kyle Williams. But I think Kyle Williams, if you get him in the fourth round, I think you're getting great value.
Because a lot of people are saying second round for Kyle Williams.
Yeah, that's a guy like I think PFF has him as their 63rd rated player.
And by the way, they brought in Ty Felton today from Maryland, who I love.
Yep, big fan of him too.
He was like fifth in the vertical, 39.5. He's like fourth in the broad jump, and he's extremely fast. Chiefs brought him in for a top 30 visit. Doesn't mean they're going to draft him.
No.
We talked, they only took two of them. Like one of them last year was Kingsley that came in for a top 30 visit. Right. Undrafted free agent. They brought in Carson Steele. And they had brought Rice in. Rice came in for a top 30 visit his year. B.J. Thompson came in for one. So it's not out of the question. Teams just might have a few more questions for you when you come in. But Ty Felton, one of the fourth leading receiver in the nation, second in the Big Ten, only behind Tyler Warren. Dude catches everything. I love Ty Felton.
I've been saying it all year. I mean, he was on our watch list for the college football season. He was one of the top performing receivers in terms of his production throughout the year. And I thought, yeah, Felton probably early, like late day two, early day three guy.
And he was here in Kansas City visiting. Also in round seven, we made the wrong sound of it. This is, I'd like to say dart throw, but clearly the Chiefs value more than that. That's why Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, Nazi Johnson, you're talking seventh round guys that were productive for the Kansas City Chiefs. But Dalton Cooper, another guy came in for a top 30 visit. Dalton Cooper's interesting because it's a developmental guy, an offensive lineman. He's a tackle. Had 36 starts at left tackle at Texas State. He transfers to Oklahoma State this past year. Did play in the East-West Shrine Game. But Dalton Cooper is a guy that I like for developmental-wise at tackle. You really like, was it Smailwon Jr.?
Smailwon Jr., linebacker really out of Georgia.
In the seventh.
He's an athlete. This guy, I mean, he was one of the best physical attribute testers at linebacker at the combine. He's a guy that very raw as a linebacker. At the very minimum, you are taking someone who's, I think, going to be very good on special teams. I think he's a guy that very quickly could establish himself.
But is he a four phaser?
I think he's very, very capable of doing four phases. I think he's going to be someone that we're going to be able to, especially now with the kickoff, them moving the touchbacks up to the 35 now for kickoffs. Like, guys like him are going to be even more valuable because they have experience playing the run.
And the whole big issue, and they haven't outlawed it yet, I think 16 teams want them to do it, the tush push. Keep in mind, the Chiefs don't do it on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, Chris. But they do it beyond the line of scrimmage. Because how many times you see Trey Smith or Creed Humphrey come behind the running back and push them forward? The Chiefs do utilize that play. And Mr. Relevant, last pick in the draft, we stay in the same direction we did last time. Nazir Stackhouse, defensive tackle out of Georgia. Huge mountain of a dude. 6'4", 300, almost 330 pounds. Shorter arms, 32.5-inch arms. But he's a guy at the combine, did everything but the bench press. But Nazir Stackhouse, if you're going defensive tackle, again, not a guy you're going to start right away. Could it be a Mike Padel-type guy in the future for this team? I think so.
He's a load. I mean, he played more snaps as a nose tackle than he did as a three tech, but he could play both. He's mainly a run stopper. He's not a guy you want playing on third. If Nazir Stackhouse is rushing
more of a two-down guy.
If he's rushing the quarterback on third down, you got some issues in your defensive tackle situation. But he's a guy that I think – early on those downs, especially now because running backs are becoming much more important on first and second down, it is going to be very imperative that you have someone that can do what Derek Nnadi did for a few years in Kansas City, what we've seen with Mike Pinnell the last few years here in Kansas City, which is just get in there and hold the line and allow your other playmakers to get to the running
back. Linebackers free, man.
Yeah.
Derek Johnson used to love when defensive tackles, like when they brought Poe in.
Right.
I mean, he was loving that because he'll take up two guys and let me flow.
And so, like, that's what I think Stackhouse can do. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have length. You just brought up under 33-inch arms, but the size that he has,
he's
and the
a
power that
dude.
He has, he's going to be a problem in the run game.
He's a problem. We'll need to take a timeout. We come back. I do want to talk about, can they trade out of 31 or not? We saw a mock where they did make a trade. They moved up, but who did they take? Chad Ryder put his mock out, a guy that we're going to have on the NFL draft specials from NFL.com. He'll join us, and then Mac Mullen from the Kansas City Chiefs joins us around 7.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley with Chris Unicero. Character Concerns NFL Draft Special going on. We have a special guest, Matt McMullen, Chiefs.com. Guy collects Super Bowl rings. What do you collect?
He collects T-shirts.
Like many people with cards and stamps.
He collects hats.
Yeah.
I mean, he has
the hats.
Yeah. Like, he's got this great, great catalog of Super Bowl championship hats. From division and conference and obviously Super Bowl.
He's got them all, but we'll get into it in the 7 o'clock hour because we got to take a time out here in a little bit. But Chad Ryder, that we like a lot. He's coming on the show in our NFL draft special
on the
NFL.com. On the 21st. He had a 5-round mock. So he sat there, didn't go all 7 rounds. We did 5, which is fine.
It was a very interesting mock, too.
It was, but he had the Chiefs making a trade up. Now, I've seen mocks with the Chiefs trade up, but typically it's been with the Rams, like 26 for Derek Harmon.
Right.
He made the trade up to get Ursaring.
I think I've seen Walter Nolan as well.
Nolan too. But Ursaring, the left tackle from Minnesota.
Ruskin High School.
Local high school. Thor that came on with me in the drive yesterday. He's been on with us in our draft special. Loves, because he saw Ursaring up front and personal several times. Of course, you know, playing at Ruskin High School here in Kansas City doesn't hurt. Again, the shorter arms you're concerned about, but they went shorter arms to Jalen Moore. It's not, quote, 34 inches. But he has NFL experience. But do you see them trading at all? Because I don't see him trading up for a guy like Ursaring. I could see Derek Harmon. That's the only guy I could really see him trading up for at this point.
I only think it'll be for a defensive tackle. I don't think it'll be for an offensive lineman. Just because I think, like we've brought up extensively on our podcast, the arm length is something that is concerning with a lot of these guys. But also,
and it's not made up, that's real.
And also the other part is just like, I don't know how big of a difference there is between the guy you can get at 31 and the guy you can get at 63 a tackle.
No, because really only 10 to 15 guys have first round grades.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know if there's that. Like Josh Connerly, what's the difference between Josh Connerly? And that, first off, I think you're reaching if you're taking Ursaring at 24.
Look, I think a guy like Cooper Kupp went in the third round.
Because I think you
have a ton of talent.
I think the latest you could get Ursaring is 66. So it's like, if you get him at 66, what the hell are you trading up to 24 to get him for? So like that's the first thing. But at the same time, it's like, I also think that because of the lack of talent at that position in the draft, it's like the guy I've been talking about, Charles Grant. I mean, how much, in terms of talent, how much difference is it between him and Ursaring?
I like Grant too, but it's not a first-year guy playing.
No. No, and I don't think Ursaring is either. I think Ursaring's a guy that's going to have to sit for a year and learn how to play NFL tackle.
Man, it's Andy Reid system stuff. And then you're playing with Patrick Mahomes.
It's not easy.
And you got a bunch of guys in the offensive line that are the dudes, like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith.
I mean, yeah, I just, like, my thing is just, like, if you are going to take a tackle, I want them to be value appropriate for where you take them at. I don't want it to be a situation where you are taking them just so you can get one. Like, I think that's when I see like a lot of these mocks, I see a lot of people are like, well, the Chiefs got to get a tackle. They got to get it at 31. Cause man, that's like you ideally you should get the best tackle that you can get at 31 in the first round. But it's like, that's just not how the value works in this draft.
Yeah, and I cautioned people yesterday on this. I was like, oh, got to go out and get certain players in free agency. Well, let's not forget about Chris Jones last year because he was trending as the best player there. They went ahead and signed him again.
Right.
Even though he's already here, you have to count that. And they tagged Trey Smith. Trey Smith was looked upon as the second best free agent in this year's class. And as I mentioned, 8 of the top last 10, the highest spending teams, didn't even make the postseason. You know the top spending team last year in the NFL was? The Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, and they were terrible.
And the year before that was the Broncos. Yeah. I mean, again, Broncos were better this year than that year, but spending a ton of free agency.
It doesn't equate to
only
winning.
Only 4 of those teams actually made the postseason. Yeah. They were in the top 3 of spending teams, so it's not exactly the magic elixir to go out and do it. You do it through the draft. This is where you build
When you those spend the big free agent dollars, you do it to bring the guys that are already on your team back, not to go get someone else on someone else's
team. It's like my favorite quote after Super Bowl 57 at the parade after beating the Eagles. Lombardi in the hand of Brett Veach again.
Yeah.
And he says, this is what they call rebuilding. So he's holding the Lombardi trophy, which is the best quote. It needs to be on t-shirts. I'd buy one. We'll take a timeout. We'll go down and get Matt McMullen. He's going to stop by in here for a little bit of
fun. He's already here. He's been sitting here for 5 minutes.
Oh, hey, Matt. I'll get to you in just I'm kidding. We'll get to you in just a second, my friend.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.